Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Okay, job hunters, one of the masters at helping people find work and choose careers is with us now, and he is Richard Bowles, Dick Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute, which was first published in 1970, has been updated many times since, and is out now in what they call a 2015 edition. Let's see how he can help some of you. Dick Bowles, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Let me start in the middle with one specific thing in the book. You write that employers and job seekers look for each other in opposite ways, so it's no wonder they don't match up. What do you mean opposite ways?
Well, you take the job hunter's favorite way of looking for an employer, which is a resume, and that's probably the last thing on an employer's list because the employer is trying to avoid risk. And therefore, their favorite method of finding somebody is internal recommendations from among their own staff or somebody who knows somebody that can say, this is a very good person, you ought to really see them. They don't like risk if they can possibly avoid it. Whereas the job hunter's mantra is, I want to cover as much territory as possible in as least time as possible. So their favorite is resumes, which is exactly the last place that most employers look, particularly in this slow recovery since the 2008 recession.
So how does a job seeker bridge that gap? Because if he doesn't have or she doesn't have the internal contacts and all they have is the resume, how do you get over that?
Well, they contact people through what used to be called contacts or referrals. There's a very interesting website now called Jobs with Friends. And if you enroll in that, you search for it in Google, it's easy to find. If you enroll in that, they take your friends from Facebook and your links from LinkedIn, and they list them in a long, unified list with the places where those people work, and note whether or not there's a vacancy there at that moment. And so you look down that list and you find if there's any place there that you're really interested in working at, whether or not they have a known vacancy, and you contact that person that you already know. So you don't have to go out and schmooze and do all the things.
Social media. Yeah. Do you like LinkedIn?
Yes, I like LinkedIn a lot. It has a wide audience. I posted something there the other day, and 30,000 people came to read it. So, and that's available to people who post any interesting content on it.
And I see you're a fan of knocking on doors, and you use that phrase, knocking on doors of companies you want to work for. I once did that when I was shortly out of college, and I, you know, I was looking for a radio news job. And I went, I literally went to the phone book and called all the radio stations in Albany where I was living. And I said, and I lied, I hear you have an opening. And one of them did. And I got the job.
Yep. Employers sometimes are very slow to advertise that they have a vacancy. This astonishes people. But as I said, they tried to do the no risk hiring first. And then they opened it up, as you would call it, opening up the lines to a wider spectrum of people, only if that low-risk hiring doesn't work for them. And so they slowly, in some cases, get around to saying, hey, we have a vacancy here, and we need to do something about that. But if you contact them, as you're describing from your own experience, you contact them in that interim period where they know they need somebody, but they haven't got around yet to doing the stuff to let that be known, then you are the only competitor for that job.
My guest, Richard Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute, 2015 edition, now out. I want to try an experiment and get some listeners to call in who actually, you know, need some advice along these lines. But let me set it up this way before we give out the phone number and see who wants to play. Because one of your central pieces of advice is to look first at yourself before looking to see if a job or even a career choice is a match. And you have what you call the flower exercise. And I thought we might invite people to call in and see if a few of them might do part of the flower exercise with you and me. But can you describe it, and why a flower?
Well, first of all, I live in my left brain and my right brain, so I like both diagrams and text. And we used to let people determine what figure they wanted to use. It had to be seven things. So they used to draw a Greek temple with seven pillars, or they used to draw a clown holding seven balloons. And finally, the one that stuck was they liked the metaphor of thinking of themselves as a flower, because it's living and growing and so forth. And so that became the title of the exercise over years.
Right,
and the users themselves have described it.
And I'm looking at the graphic here on a two-page spread of your book, page 174, 175, The Flower, that one piece of paper. Petal one, my favorite knowledge or fields of interest. Petal two, my preferred kinds of people to work with. Petal three, what I can do and love to do, my favorite transferable skills. And it goes on from there. So listeners, if you're just starting out in the work world, or if you're at the point of possibly changing jobs or careers, call in and you get to talk to Richard Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute? 212-433-WNYC. Ask him any question, and we'll also do a little flower diagram question set with you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I'll say that one of those top petals in your flower, the way it's displayed, ask for a list of the kinds of people you like to work with, as I just mentioned. What do you mean by types of people?
Well, one way to approach that is to think of all the jobs you've held thus far in your life, whether in high school, college, post-college, or whatever, and think of the types that you absolutely couldn't stand being around, and you felt even it affected your performance. And if you make a list of those kinds of people, you have that list in reverse. So I don't like a very complaining person sitting beside me all day long. So what is the opposite of that? Well, it's a person that doesn't keep complaining. So it's easy to form a kind of picture in your head of the kind of people that drag you down and drag down your energy. And you're saying, I want to work with this kind of person because this person actually helps me to be more effective and to do my best work.
And as we're screening some calls here, our lines are full, so we're just going to get some people ready to go on with you. But I want to ask you kind of a social analysis question, if you're willing to go here, because the original edition of your book, Being 35 Years Old, was written at a certain time with a certain kind.
Now, what's the 35 years old?
Or 45, actually, right? 1970, wasn't it?
Yes.
45. So, sorry, I missed a
okay.
a decade there. And since usually people don't correct you about making them older. But
the book has come out every single year but one since 1970.
So since then, we've had a steady march in this country toward income inequality, and I think toward job hunting being more of an employer's market in general and less of a job hunter's market. And I wonder if you think it's harder for job seekers today, that more advantage in the balance of power now belongs to the employers than when you were starting out with What Color Is Your Parachute? And since you have revised it almost every year, whether you've seen that as a steady creep?
No. It was back in 1970, it was just as hard for job hunters to find work as it is today.
And actually, early 70s were tough in America, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't see much change in that. It much depends on how much, what kind of employer you're talking to. If you're talking to an employer that wants somebody who has a degree, let us say, in applied mathematics, I guarantee you the employer does not sit in the power seat with respect to that. That kind of person is snapped up as fast as they come out of college.
Right. But I guess I feel like there's a huge mass of people who are sort of in the middle, right, who are not.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have lost hope. And the key to job hunting is always to keep up hope. And the chief way in which you do that is that you find two different ways of approaching each step of the job hunt. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you're going to go for ads, you have to think, well, how else could I identify a place where I might do my very best work? Alternatives give you hope, because if one thing doesn't work, then you say, well, I'll try the other. If you just start putting all your eggs in one basket, I'm going to depend on my resume. If my resume doesn't get me a job, I'm going to conclude the job market is awful. Then, of course, that turns out to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Brianna in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC with Richard Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute? Hi.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
So I'm in the middle of a job search and also a career change. I've done quite a few different things, fashion, just spent 3 years in real estate, centering kind of on marketing a specific broker. So I'm kind of really done with all of that. And I've been taking my search, I've been focusing more on choosing a job function before an industry at this point, because I'm feeling very lost. And I don't know if that's a great way to go about it. What do you, I mean, I guess
so,
I'm
Dick, do you want to do some flower exercise with her maybe?
I'll do whatever you tell me I have to do.
Well, you're the expert. You do it your way. I'm suggesting that might be one way in.
Well, a career change involves two things. One, it involves a job title, and secondly, it involves an industry. And mm-hmm. when you're trying to make a successful career change, our instinct is to change both our job title and our industry in one swell swoop. So we try it, and then we run into some difficulties. Another way to approach it is to think of what kind of industry would I like to be in ultimately in my career change. And what was my job title where I really was happy in the past? And look to see for that job title in that industry. So you're getting half of what you want right off the bat. But when they say to you, are you experienced? You say, yes, I've done this job title for X number of years. Or you can choose the a change of the industry right away. And you say, yes, I've been in this industry for many, many years. So changing to a new career in two steps rather than just one often is infinitely more successful than trying to do it all at once.
Right. And if my past industries have not been very fulfilling, you know, and job function and my position, you know, that's sort of where I'm finding myself at this point.
Yeah. Do you know what industry you'd like most to be in?
It's hard to say. For a little bit, I was thinking, you know, the nonprofit world, but, you know, that's a tough one to get into.
Okay, then I do have a suggestion, and it's the one our host will anticipate I would say, and that is do the flower exercise in Chapter 7 in the book.
Aha, here we are. So I'll throw some of the flower questions out to you, Brianna, and
okay.
Maybe you'll see if any of these makes your brain go, aha. Okay, so flower petal 4 question, my favorite working conditions. Petal 5, level of responsibility that I'd like. Petal 1, my favorite knowledges. That's an interesting plural. My favorite, yeah, and you have that as the biggest petal right in the center.
Yeah,
my
because
favorite,
that will determine the industry.
And I love using knowledge as a plural there. My favorite knowledges or fields of interest. Do you have favorite knowledges, Brianna?
Interesting. Well, I mean, I've spent some time using I went to school for marketing, and so I've recently spent some time using, I guess, that knowledge in the real estate industry. I can't say that it's necessarily my favorite, but it might be what I have the most experience
so
in right
So marketing
now.
In general.
No, going down that road, let me block you immediately.
Yeah, please do.
Now, think of what do you know a lot about that you love to talk about, that you love to think about, that you'd love to use your skills with. In other words, figure out not just what knowledges you know, but what knowledges you love. And there are some steps in the book to fill out that particular petal of the flower that will help you a lot.
Okay, well, it looks like I need to definitely explore that.
So, well, I'm not trying to sell the book. It's just
right,
it's
but you don't have
no,
it.
No, no.
You don't
I,
have
I
it
know.
Right off the top of your head. So, okay. So hopefully that's a useful direction for you to go out and explore yourself in, and maybe that'll help you figure out what you want to do next since you're at this point of change. Thank you. All right, let's do one more. We have time for one more. Let's try Karen in Westchester. Hi, Karen. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Good. So what's your situation?
So I'm still an undergrad, actually, so it's a little bit earlier in the career process, but I'm deciding between two things, and my dilemma is basically that I either would like to go to study communications and then go into advertising, or study something very different, which would be international studies and political science, and go and get perhaps a graduate degree in advanced international studies. But my dilemma is basically that the Department of Communications is a weaker department at my specific school, but I think the career path is more, you know, kind of less risky of a career path to take, whereas studying something like political science, the department at my school is stronger. However, I'm a little, the career path is a little riskier. It's more based on me getting into one of these great schools, of which there are only a few. So I'm a little kind of worried in that way, that it's a little riskier of a path to take. So that's really where I'm at right now.
Well, I have an opinion about this, and Richard Bowles, you can back me up or disagree. You're much too young not to take the risk, because it sounds like you're drawn to the international politics field, and you have a better department at your college. So go do it. You can always try to fall back on a communications or marketing degree later. Richard?
Okay. The field between those two choices, the one that excites you the most, never mind what the college's strength is in presenting the curriculum, the one that excites you the most is always going to be the one that makes it easier for you to find fulfilling work. And it seems to me it's very important that you talk to some people who are in each of those two disciplines who already have jobs similar to the kind you're thinking about, and find out how they see the job, because that will help you greatly in choosing between those two.
Mm-hmm. My mom's been saying that, so she'll be really happy that you.
Well,
you
I'm
confirm.
Always happy to back up your mom.
All right, okay. Karen.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good luck. We want to see you as a guest on the show in 5 years, speaking for, you know, some major international organization doing great work, okay?
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully one day.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You.
So, Richard Bowles, let's wrap up with this, because you do remind people that, and it's kind of obvious in a way, but in the digital age, people really have two resumes, and you put it that way, which was interesting, two resumes, the one they submit and the Google search on them that the employer does. But what can you do about the latter? Are you recommending a reputation cleansing company for many of your readers?
No. Listen, if you Google your own name and you look to see what comes up, and not just text messages you put up, but also photos, and you have some photos there that you know you don't want an employer to see, there are ways of removing them from almost any site that you're on, whether it's Pinterest or whether it's Instagram or whether it's Facebook or whatever. And so if you do that search before an employer does, you can figure out what you want to remove. And there are, if you don't know how to remove it, all you have to do is put it into a search engine. How do I remove something from Facebook, or how do I remove something from Pinterest? And some genius will have already figured out the answer to that.
You can do it in some cases. You can't do it in many cases. Europe, as you know, is moving toward right to forget laws, or right to be forgotten laws, where you can ask to take things down. Not so much in this country. This is one of the ongoing conundrums for people in job searches.
You know, there's still ways to do it, I guarantee you.
Richard Bowles, the new 2015 revised and updated annually edition of What Color Is Your Parachute is just out. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, and you can start calling now, a call-in for gentrifiers, and you know who you are. on when you call 311 versus when you adapt to the conditions of your new neighborhood. When do you call 311? When have you? Or when have you refrained when you have what you think is a quality of life issue in your neighborhood, but you are the gentrifier, you are the one moving in with a little more money, and maybe some of the people in the neighborhood don't have exactly the same opinions on what makes a nuisance as you do. Gentrifiers, when do you call 311? When do you adapt to the conditions of your new neighborhood? Call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.